delighted for that. We have been speaking on the subject of prayer for, well, this will be the 25th time that we've talked on the subject of prayer. And we're coming close to the end of the subject of prayer, and we have barely scratched the surface. There is so much more. But we need to get on to other things as well. But I want to today again impress your heart one more time of the importance of prayer in your life. So often, as I have mentioned before, prayer is the thing we do when we've tried everything else. Tried other things first, instead of going to God in prayer immediately with the need that we have or with the issues that we have in life. Prayer is very important. We've talked about prayer and fasting and how that all fits together. And so today I want to take the verses that I used last week, and God put in my heart an entirely different sermon. So you didn't get to use the notes last week. You have to use them this week. But the scriptures are Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love these verses because they have so much in them. First of all, the condition that we should be in coming in prayer, and it's without anxiety, without panic, without fear, but rather coming in confidence and encouragement because we are told to do so by God, to come into His presence with thanksgiving, and that we are to do. The next thing is that we pray over everything. Now that's the word used in the scripture here. Everything. In everything. When you think of last week and you think of all the things that you were involved in and all the things that you did and all the events and all the people you've met and all of the places you went, how much prayer went into all of those things? You get up in the morning, most of you head for the kitchen and the first cup of coffee. You say, don't talk to me, don't touch me, don't even breathe till I have my first cup of coffee. When in reality we ought to be saying, don't come near me, don't touch me, don't do anything until I talk to God. He's first. Always first. Lord, what a beautiful day you've given us. The sunshine outside, the sunshine as we sang about it in our hearts today. Praise God, always blessing us, always favoring us, always listening to us as we sang, listen to your children praying. That prayer was prayed by Solomon way back when after he had dedicated the temple. Lord, hear your people, no matter where they are, no matter how they pray. When they pray and they come and they cry out to you, hear from heaven their voices. What a glorious, glorious thing to know that He hears and He's there. How do we pray in the will of God? Well, one of the things that's really important to do, and I encourage you to do it, if you have a commentary or a Bible dictionary, whatever, I want you to take the words, the will of God. And then if you're a computer type person, you might want to go into a Bible program online and type in the will of God. And every verse will come up that says, and this is the will of God for you. You'll be surprised at how many times He said that and how many times the scripture tells us, and this is the will of God for you. And most of us don't even know that. Most of us have never looked that up. Well, the very first thing you need to do is go into the Bible and look up every verse that you can find that says this is the will of God for you. And then list them out. And it'll give you a whole spectrum of the things that God has said is His will. You can pray about any one of those things and know that you're praying in the will of God. Not that hard. It's just we have to do the homework. We have to be able to go in and do that so that we can know what He is saying is the will. Now, there are some things that we are not going to see in the Scripture when it says this is the will of God. In other words, certain things in your life will happen and you say, what is God's will here? And you will go into the Scripture, you'll try to find a Scripture, and that is a good thing to do, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And in the process, God will lead you to something, some way, some word that will encourage you and confirm what His will is. That's how we do it. That's how we begin. So assuming that there's no sin in our lives, that we've taken care of all the known sin, all right? And we really want to know God's word and mind and heart in a matter in our life. And we want to go to prayer about that. And as we do and we get on our knees, the first thing we must ask ourselves, and I did mention this last week, we must decide if we're asking God to give us something we want or we are praying for something that we need. Or some direction in a matter in front of us. And then secondly, we should ask God to give us a passage of Scripture that relates in some way to our request. A passage that we can meditate on and through which God can speak to us. And as we do that, the Spirit of God brings that Scripture alive. And teaches us what we need to know at that moment, in that time, and in that framework. Most Christians overlook the place of Scripture in prayer. They think praying is praying. They don't think that they should take the Bible in with them as they go to pray. They don't think that they should open the Word of God in front of them as they should pray. And yet that's very vital and very important. For you're speaking to God and He wants to speak to you. And He speaks by His Spirit through His Word. And He speaks through other people. And He speaks through events. And He speaks through situations. And He will talk to you through all those avenues. But He loves to speak to you through His Word. So as you open it in front of Him, He can give you that verse that you need or that passage of verses that you need in order to understand. It's much easier for us to distinguish His will from our own thoughts when we have the will of God in front of us or the Word of God speaking to us. Otherwise, we're kind of back there struggling. Am I thinking this or is God putting this in my mind, or how am I getting this message? And the Lord loves to do it in a way that you don't have any doubts. And He loves to do it through His Word first, and then through others, etc. Now God desires, listen, I want you to hear this, because this is absolutely vitally important. God wants us to be in a place that we know Him more than He desires to answer our prayers. Wow. Really? Yes. He wants us to know Him and to be in line with His plan and His will and His purpose. He wants that far more than He cares about answering our prayers. Because when we are knowing Him and communicating with Him, loving Him and He loving us, Him speaking to us, we speaking to Him, He oftentimes answers our prayers in ways that we haven't even asked. But He does it because He loves us and we have a relationship with Him. He wants us to use each prayer as a tool to familiarize ourselves with His ways. God, what is your way here? I see three paths in front of me. Which one is yours? Which path would you direct me to? And I wait on Him. The song we prayed today, wait. Teach us, Lord, to wait. Wait on Him. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. We always want to be in a hurry. And sometimes we put ourselves in a place where we have to be in a hurry. And that's not good. That's not good. Yesterday, we had a funeral. And we had to leave Redmond and end up over on Aurora North, Washelli, up there in North Seattle. The traffic we hit was unbelievable. For a Saturday, I couldn't believe it. But it was stop and go, stop and go, stop and go, stop and go. And I kept looking at my watch. I wanted to be there at least a half hour early because I wanted to meet with the family. I wanted to see the way that I've never been in that chapel. I needed to know the way the chapel is operating. Needed to talk to the funeral director. Needed a lot of things I needed to do. So I needed to be there a half hour early, and it just, oh, this traffic, oh. Nothing worked out yesterday the way it was supposed to. First of all, we were supposed to drive Pat's car. She was supposed to drive. She went to get in it to pull it out so I could get in and drive a passenger side, and it wouldn't run. It was dead. So I had to drive, which is not what I want to do in Seattle. I don't know about you, but that's not my favorite thing. And then we got in the traffic. And then when we got there, there was some confusion as to how the program was going to go forward. It just was, but here's the thing. The Lord, in the middle of the traffic, I started to get a little anxious. And I finally kind of just, in myself, I just relaxed and I said, and I think I said it to her, I said, we'll get there when we get there. They can't start without us. And so we talk, traffic, whatever. And we got over, and then it finally cleared out, and we were able to get there. And guess what? We arrived almost 30 minutes early, just short 5 minutes. So there was still time to sort things out and to work it out. God does that for us when we pray. I do not take on the responsibility of a funeral or a wedding or a service here without first asking God to bless it, to use it, and to cause it to honor Him. I just don't. And even though I have to go through the mechanics of doing the thing I have to do, nevertheless, I'm always aware of God's presence and God's power and God's Word. And we pray. We pray ahead of time. I pray specifically for this one, this funeral, in a specific way, because we didn't know the environment we were going into. We didn't know who there might know the Lord or not know Him. I only knew I wanted to share that which the Lord put on my heart. And that could be disconcerting to some if they're not believers. And it could be disconcerting to some believers if they're not where they need to be. But nevertheless, we have to do what we have to do, right? As God's children, and when given a responsibility, we do that. So I prayed about that, and it was absolutely amazing, the response. Totally, completely the opposite of what we expected. Even to the extent that one young lady came and said to me, I think I believe in heaven, but I'm not sure. But I want to believe in heaven and I want to go there. How do I do that? And we sat and talked for probably 20-30 minutes. Pat left. She and I talked. And We went through salvation. We went through being born again. We went through all of that. She had just come out of the Catholic Church. And she said, it never brought me close to God. And I want to be close to God. And I'm pregnant. And I'm going to have a baby. And I want my baby to know God. Wow. And we finished that. And a few minutes later, one of the ladies, actually my stepson's mother, came and she said, look, well, one of the things they did, and that I wasn't sure what all that was all about, they just said they were going to broadcast the service. Well, they put it online. And so that people who couldn't come saw the service. And she brought her phone and she says, here's a text from somebody who saw the service. And she says, I have to give you a hug. This person wants me to give you a hug. Because she just lost a family member a week or so before that. And what you said touched her heart. And then it was a stream of people from the brothers to the man that passed away, or the brother, and the sons of the man who passed away, and family came by, how they were touched by all that was done. God goes ahead of us. And God prepares the way. We just have to go in and do what we have to do. And God is the one who prepares the hearts to hear and the ears to hear. But we need to pray. You see, if we go into the Word of God as we begin to pray and we ask Him to give us a particular promise from Scripture dealing with the request, make this the anchor, this verse that He gives you, this passage He gives, make it the anchor of your faith in that issue. Okay? Hold on to that verse regardless of what happens or how you feel, because your feelings lie to you all the time. So does the things you see. Sometimes what you see is not what's really happening. All right? Hold on to it. Live by it. Pray by it. And refuse to give up until you have whatever God has promised you. That is where we begin. But we must be on our knees before the Lord in prayer with the Bible open and asking God for confirmation and direction. Since God wants you to know His will, He will, in our prayers, show us. And since we know that we are praying according to His will, then we already have the thing that we ask for. And the next step then is to begin praising Him and thanking Him. Maybe you've heard people pray like that before. Father, I ask you for thus and thus. I know that you hear this prayer, and I know that it's according to your will because you've shown me that this is what you want. So I ask you for this thing, and I ask it in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the cross. And now, Father, I thank you that you have already done it. I thank you that you've already brought it to pass. And though I have yet not seen it, I know that you have answered this prayer. Wow! That's faith in action, in your prayers. You see, there's no need to keep asking God to do what we've already asked Him to do once if we know we're in the will of God. And in the same way, there's no need to beg Him to do what He's already done. We just haven't seen it yet. You see, we live today in a time frame area. We've got so many hours of a day, okay? And then we go to a new day and we get so many more hours. But we can only see so far. God has the picture from the beginning to the end. He knows down here what He's going to do. He hears our prayers. He does what He's going to do. It's down here. We haven't gotten there yet, but He's going to do it. And it's all there. And I thank Him and I praise Him ahead of time. because He loves me. And He hears my prayers. And He honors those. And He answers those. Now, sometimes when I get there, I'm totally surprised. Because somewhere between when I asked and praised Him and gave thanks for it, I kind of lost interest and went to something else. And then all of a sudden it's right in front of me and God opens it up. And probably in a way I didn't even ask, maybe more so than I didn't ask. And what a wonderful surprise that is. And I praise Him and thank Him again. When we go to God, instead of asking, Lord, please do this and that, let's ask Him to show us how to pray. And then let's ask the Holy Spirit to pray through us with God's wisdom and His understanding. Then we can be assured of praying according to His will, because the Spirit can never and never will pray against the will of God. For He is God. And it is His mind, and the heart of God is right there. And when our hearts are clean and we have committed ourselves to obey Him, and yet we have not a clue as to what to pray, God takes the responsibility of showing us. But we have to be willing to wait. We have to be willing to ask. And we have to be willing to thank Him even before we see it. Now, He may use Scripture, or He may use some circumstances. If our request isn't in keeping with His will, and we continue to pray it, pretty soon He redirects us and our attention on Him, and then we lose interest in what we were praying for because it wasn't His will to begin with. And it would produce nothing to continue praying that way. Regardless of how He shows us, we must believe that He will. And often, we will have to wait to see the outcome. One of the hardest things for all of us is that little word that we don't like. It's called patience. In talking to that young lady last night, she was so hungry for answers. She says, I'm so hungry, I'm impatient, I want it now. And I said, you have to learn patience. I can't, patience is my problem. Well, I said, welcome to the human race. That's all of our problems. We get in a hurry. We want it now, today, this moment, instant. Instant coffee. Instant tea. And if we don't want instant, we just drive by somebody who's already taken the time to make it so it's instant to us. And we pick it up there. We want instant answers. And God says, let's travel the journey together, and it's going to take time, so you need patience because it's not going to be instant. It's not going to be instant. Now that verse, those verses that we read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Now we can know without doubt that we are on track in our prayers when we have peace over an issue that we're praying for. A number of years ago, I was pastoring a church out on the peninsula. We had a gentleman who was one of our elders in the church, and he was having a real problem with his heart. Matter of fact, he ended up in the hospital and his heart was racing, and they couldn't shut it down. They couldn't get it to slow down. It was just, you could look at the monitor and it was just, I mean, he was going crazy, and they said, and it was speeding up over a period of time. It was just slowly speeding up. And they thought that, you know, if it keeps going the way it's going, the man's going to die because he can't keep this up. The heart will burst. But it was going and going and going. And finally, I couldn't sit there any longer. I went home. I called the rest of the church and I said, those of you who want to pray for this issue, come meet at the church in 10 minutes. And we all came together and we met. And we began to pray for this elder. We prayed God's will be done in his life. And we knew that his wife had passed and he had a child who was a disabled child who had some issues. And because of that, needed him desperately, at least for a few more years. So we prayed according to that plan and that purpose. And in the middle of our prayers, we were praying for about 2 hours. And in the middle of the prayers, the lady stood up and she said, "Pastor, I'm going home. It's done." I looked at my watch. I thought, well, we've only been here this amount of time. So she went home and some more of us stayed and prayed because we weren't sure it was done. We hadn't gotten the message somehow. Anyway, we finally closed the prayer service down about an hour later. Everybody went to their homes. I went home, went to bed, slept, got up in the morning, went to the hospital. And when I walked into the hospital, with the area where they had him in a big room over here, and they had the monitors above and back of the nurse's station. And I knew which monitor was his. So I came in and I looked at the monitor, and here's a normal rhythm. And I said, "What happened?" Now, why should I have said that? I said, "What happened?" And then I said to the nurse, "Can you tell me what happened to the person in room such and such?" She said, "No, I just came on. But hey, that woman's just leaving. She was here all night. Talk to her." So I grabbed that nurse and brought her aside, and I said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, it was the strangest thing." She said, "We were working at the nurse's station, and all of a sudden we heard a sound, and we looked up to see the monitors, and this monitor was going all over the place. And so we ran in and tried to comfort him, and he seemed to be okay. So we went back out and thought, well, maybe the monitor's bad. So they changed monitors. And they still had this thing going all over the place. And then she said, we watched it as it settled down into a normal rhythm. And we again thought, something's wrong here. So they went back in to see him, and he was sleeping, and he was at peace, and he was laying there very quietly. They took his pulse, normal rhythm, could not believe it. So I said to her, I said, "What time did that happen?" And she said, "I can tell you because we looked at the clock at the time we looked at this. And it was such and such a time." It's exactly the time the lady stood up in our prayer group and said, "It's finished, I'm going home." That man lived, and as a father to his daughter, for almost 7 years after that, before he actually passed away. God granted him life. Why? Because his people prayed. Because his people expected an answer. Because his people cried out to God and said, "Please give this man a few years more." And he did. He did. Listen. When peace comes into the heart as you're praying, you know it's done. You know it's done. When you're peaceful about it, you know you put it in the Lord's hand and it's done. And God's will be accomplished. And you can rest in that and be assured in that. Once we have found his promise to us, we must dig in and wait and while thanking him for what is already ours. What's already ours. Listen, I'm going to revise this verse a little bit. But it says, if God be for us, it normally says, who can be against us? But I read it this way, if God be for us in our prayers, who or what can stand against us? Absolutely no one or nothing. That's Romans 8:31, by the way. There is a time to wait and there is a time to act. We all know the story about Israel and they're going into the land of Canaan and the story about how they went and took over Jericho and had a wonderful victory over Jericho, doing the most inane thing that you could possibly imagine, marching around this city quietly for 7 days, and then on the seventh day marching around and yelling and blowing their trumpets and whatever, and then all the walls come falling down. Who in the world would ever give that as a battle plan? Only God. In a song we sang today, the battle is His. Well, when we pray, we put that at His feet, and He answers our prayers. And so what happens? They went ahead, they had a wonderful victory, great victory, and then they went without asking God, without checking with God, without knowing what was going on. They went up to a little town of Ai, and they said, no sense in sending the whole army up there. It's just a little town. Look what we just did at Jericho. So they just sent a small armed group up there. And guess what? 26 of their men was killed and they were routed. The enemy overcame them. Why? Then they come back and they started praying. God, what happened? What happened? And God said, what are you doing on your knees? I told you that when you took Jericho, you were not to take any of the gold or the silver or any of that stuff, any of that that's under a ban. It only is to be given to God. It is not to be held or taken by any individual. And someone in your camp took gold and silver and vessels and buried them in their tent. So get up off your knees and do something about it. So what do? They called them all together and went tent by tent by tent by tent until they found the guy. And when they faced him with it, he confessed. And he went and dug it up, and there it all was, everything. And God said, until you get rid of the sin and the sinner and everything there, you'll never have victory again. So they had to destroy that entire family. They destroyed that which was held under the ban. They destroyed the tents. They destroyed everything. They had to destroy and kill sin in the camp. And they did. And then they went up to Ai and had victory. You know, one of the things that's really important here in this lesson is this. There is a time to pray. And then there's a time when God says to you, why are you on your knees? You already asked me for this. I already took care of it. Why haven't you yet moved forward to find the answer? Why haven't you yet gotten up and taken action? Why are you still asking? Why are you still on your knees? Get up. Sort it out. And take action. That's what he told them back then, and that's what he tells us today. There are times when we pray for things, and 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 we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we say, oh, God, you didn't give it. God already gave it to you the first time. You just haven't moved forward to find it. You haven't thanked him for it yet, but he already gave it to you. And he expects you to praise him and thank him and give him glory. But in all of it, he will work only when it brings glory to him. And he will work only when it causes you to know him better. You see? Let's imagine for a moment you lost your job. That's not uncommon in this day and age. A lot of people have lost their jobs. All right? And you know God allowed it to happen because God's in everything, right? Is he not involved in your life and everything? Yes. You're sitting there like you don't know. Come on. Yes, he's involved. All right? In everything. So you lost your job, okay? We don't know what the reason is. We don't care what the reason is. The only thing is we want to be sure what God has in it for us. All right? So what's the next step? Do you just get back down and you sit down in your home and you say, well, bring me a coat, and I'm going to sit here till God opens up a door. And I'm going to pray, God, I lost my job today. Of course, you know that. So, Lord, I ask you to open up another job for me. I ask that you open the door to wherever you want me to be, that you give me a job that will help me take care of my family, my situation, and to be able to give. So, Lord, I put this in your hands now, and then we sit down. We sit down. How many of you ever have received a job because you sat in your house and you waited for somebody to call you just out of the blue because you've made no effort to contact anybody? They called you and offered you a job. Anyone? I never have. God expects us at that moment. We prayed. What do we do next? Get up. Get moving. Knock on doors. See which ones will open. And then walk through them. That's what you have to do. They don't just come the other way. Well, I have to say, there has been only one time in my life that I received a job offer that I never even asked for or even don't even know the guy who was offering it. And that was 2 weeks ago. Some of you I've shared this with. I got a call on the phone. Guy says, I need to talk to you. I have a job opening for you. Pays $97,000 a year. And we have looked over your profile online, and we believe that you would fit with our company to be a manager of managers. In other words, there's a lot of project managers, and you will be the manager over them to make sure these things happen. You will also be procuring all the necessary materials, etc., and so on and so forth. And I laughed at him. On the phone, I said, you missed something. He said, what's that? I said, I'm 80 years old. You really want me as your manager of managers to manage your company? I said, I appreciate the offer, but you missed something. Besides that, I have a job. And he didn't ask me what it was. I was hoping he would, but he didn't. He just said, oh, sorry. And he hung up. I loved it. And I could have gone to God and said, really? Is this what you want? No. But things happen. We have to sometimes sit and wait. Sometimes we have to get up and act. And God will direct us in that. And sometimes he wants us to wait. Sometimes he wants us to act. Now listen, people of Israel crossed Jordan River, faced fortified cities. When they prayed and sought God's face, there was victory. When they didn't, there was no victory. And the same is true with you and I every day we live. When we face events, when we have to be at places and do things, if we go there having prepared the way by prayer, God will give us victories. If we do not, there will be nothing. It will be empty, and you will come away defeated and feel as if nothing has ever happened, and God certainly didn't answer that prayer. Let us get it clear in our minds. It always works when God is in it. It always works when God is in it. And we can trust that. Let us bow in prayer. Father, there's so much to be said about this. And you know our hearts and our minds and how easily we fill up and then can't take any more in. And Father, we just pray that the Holy Spirit will embed in our hearts from what has been said today that which we need to know that will encourage us to pray, pray often, pray always, and pray with confidence for the will of God. Teach us and then guide us step by step through those doors of life that you have in front of us. And may we, as we go, give honor to you and glory to you always, for that's where it belongs. We pray In Jesus' name, amen.